This is Audible.
This is The Cattle Rancher's Widow, A Scarlet Sierra Story, by R. Scott. Narrated by Jean Gray. All historical inaccuracies are intentional, except for the ones that are accidental. Tears rolled down my cheeks as the preacher finished the funeral service with a grim Amen. I closed my eyes tightly as the wiry grave digger with the sunburned skin picked up the shovel he had been leaning on and dug into the pile of dirt. I heard the dirt hit the pine of the coffin that rested in the hole in the ground. Beside me, my two little ones sobbed. "I'll miss my daddy," little Shannon whimpered. I opened my eyes, looked down to her, and pulled her closer to me, trying to reassure her. On my other side, William tried to fight the tears that ran down his young face. He wanted to be strong, to make his father proud, but his grief and anguish were too strong, and the tears rolled down his cheeks. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Father Simmons approaching us. His old, time-worn face looked pale with sorrow and grief. He had known our family for years, had married John and I nearly 10 years ago, when he was 19 and I was 18. "I am sorry for your loss," he said to me, his voice kind and compassionate. "Thank you, Father," I quietly replied. "It was a lovely service. John would have been proud and thankful." The preacher gave a polite nod. "He was a good man, and he didn't deserve what happened to him." Hearing his kind words almost made me break down in tears. I wanted to crumple up on the ground and just let my emotions pour out of me, but I had to be strong for our children. Nearby, the gravedigger continued to fill John's grave with dirt. Father Simmons respectfully took my shoulder and led my children and myself away from the grave. We had only walked a few feet when I felt Father Simmons stiffen. Beneath his thin spectacles, his gray eyes darkened and his bushy white eyebrows furrowed in anger that he dare not express. I followed his gaze. It was Sheriff Brady, and he was slowly ambling in our direction. He held his hat in his hands, trying to look sympathetic. Sweat dripped from his meaty face. Pools of water gathered in the pits of his large shirt that did nothing to hide his disgustingly obese body. His thinning black hair looked oily and gross. "My condolences on your loss, Mrs. Thompson." His husky voice, thick with fat, came to me as he neared us. "Thank you," I quietly replied, not entirely convincingly. I didn't want to look at his sweaty, fat face. I knew if I looked at him, I would hit him. Anger burned inside of me. "Now don't ye fret none, Emily," he told me. "We're going to catch the bastards who shot your husband." That did it. The dam broke inside me, and the anger came flooding out. I could feel my face get hot. My eyes must have seemed like they were on fire as they snapped up to look at his puffy eyes, his pudgy face trying to look innocent. "You tell Reginald Mason that he will never have my land," I shouted to his face, my finger pointing less than an inch from his stubby nose. In my fiery anger, I dimly heard Shannon start wailing and crying, upset at the harsh, furious voice that her mother was using. Father Simmons pulled me away from the fat, lazy excuse for a sheriff. "Not now, Emily," he hissed in my ear. "Not now." I looked back over my shoulder at the sheriff as Father Simmons escorted my children and I away from that lard-ass son of a bitch. He looked so smug, watching me walk away. I had suspected that Quentin Brady was one of the men who had killed my husband on our own property. But in that instant, seeing the pompous look on his chubby face as the sheriff watched me, I knew for a fact that he had helped kill my husband. Father Simmons walked Shannon, William, and myself to the carriage we had waiting outside the cemetery. He helped young Shannon up into the coach and then gave an assuring pat on William's shoulder before the boy climbed into the carriage. As I started to climb up into the coach, he held me back for a moment. "After I heard what happened to John, I sent a telegraph to someone I know," he quietly whispered to me. "I think they might be able to help you." And then, before he could elaborate, he walked away toward his church. I stared after him in confusion. What was he talking about? Someone he knows that can help me? In what way? As I climbed into the carriage and started the horses going down the dirt road and in the direction of our farm, I remained perplexed by the odd statement of Father Bernard Simmons. As we came over the hill and could see our home, I slowed the horses down. I could see three men and their horses milling about in the front of the house. We were still too far away to make out any details of them, but I already knew who was waiting for me. Reginald Mason gave me his most charming smile as I slowed the horses to a stop in front of the house. He took off his hat and held it over his chest. "My dear Emily," he said, his deep voice filled with golden lies, "you have my deepest sympathies. John was a good man and a good friend." I could not bear to look at that scoundrel. I kept my eyes locked to the ground as I climbed out of the carriage, refusing the help of one of Mason's men who offered me his hand to help me down. William followed me down, glaring at Reginald Mason. He was a young boy, but he had heard things, and I was certain he had a pretty good idea what happened to his father. I helped Shannon down out of the carriage. "I've heard that most of your ranch hands have left you. How many do you have left now? 2? 3? This land is surely too big for you to manage all on your own," Reginald said as he dismounted from his horse. His voice reeked of false kindness and sympathy. His other man took the reins of the horse in his hand, joining the reins of the two horses. "What will you do with all your property?" His words disgusted me. I could barely contain the loathing I felt for him. His face, which reminded me of the pointed features of a weasel, had a bristly brown beard and mustache. His brown eyes always seemed dark and full of sly thoughts. He was always grabbing at every opportunity for land and power that came along, and if an opportunity didn't present itself, he would manufacture one. More than one person who stood in the way of, or against, Reginald Mason had met a questionable end. My husband had just happened to be the most recent victim. Reginald Mason had wanted our land for some time. He made offers and promises to my husband, but John refused. My husband was proud of the land that he owned, of the hard work that he had put into our cattle ranch. But Reginald Mason would not be refused, as my husband learned when he was tending to a far corner of our property. I had heard the gunshots coming from where I knew John was working. A sickening feeling washed over me. Even as I raced the horse across our land to check on him, I had a horrifying feeling of what I was going to find. And sure enough, there was John, shot multiple times, clearly by multiple men, with no sign of who had killed him. And though I couldn't prove it, I just knew that Sheriff Brady, who was in Reginald Mason's pocket, had been one of the men who had pulled one of the triggers that killed my husband. Since his murder, the hired hands that helped my husband and I take care of our cattle ranch had slowly left the ranch in fear that they would be murdered next, sneaking away into the night, 2 or 3 men at a time. Only a few of the hands remained, men who were loyal to myself and the memory of my husband and wouldn't be scared off by Mason or his men. "William, go play with your sister inside," I firmly told my son. My young boy, looking so much like his father that it made my heart ache, gave one last glare at Reginald Mason, then took his younger sister inside the house. I waited until they were inside and the door had shut behind them before I could finally look Reginald Mason in his wicked eyes, his smug smile painted on, and his face full of evil charm. "I will manage perfectly fine," I hissed at him, keeping my voice low so that the children would not hear, but I wanted to erupt at his foul excuse for a man. "And you have some nerve coming here, Mr. Mason. I want you off my property." That smug smile never left the son of a bitch's face as he stepped closer to me, moving to stand within inches of me. He stood over me, looking down into my fiery eyes as I glared at him, wanting nothing more than to scream at him. "You may need my help," he told me in a low tone, the slime in his voice making my skin crawl. His eyes walked across my body. "A woman on a large ranch like this with no man around to protect her?" His voice trailed off as his eyes rested on the swell of my breasts through my cotton dress. "Well, let's just say no one ever knows what can happen to a woman's dignity out here." I wanted to vomit. I knew what the wretch was implying. Instead of vomiting, I slapped him hard across the face, my open hand leaving a burning red mark on his cheek. "You stupid bitch," he angrily hissed at me, his pompous grin finally leaving his toothy mouth. He started to draw his hand back, ready to slap me. I braced myself, readying myself for the hit of his hand. The loud crack of a gunshot suddenly erupted, echoing across the open yard. We all jumped at the unexpected report of the gun. For a moment, I thought it had come from one of Mason's men, but they looked as surprised as I was. Hell, even Mason looked around in confusion, wondering who the hell had shot. That was when we saw her. She sat on a chestnut-colored horse. She had ridden up the yard unnoticed by any of us and now was just a few yards away. Her pistol was pointed in the air, little wisps of smoke still rolling out of the barrel from where she had just shot into the air. Her other hand held a second pistol that was aimed right at Reginald Mason. Her long red hair flowed out from under her hat, her shirt and trousers hugging her womanly curves. There was a calm strength in her emerald eyes, a whisper of deadly certainty. "I believe the woman told you to leave her property," the woman said, her voice even and firm. There was a southern twang to her voice. She was definitely not from here in the western part of the Union. Mason stared at her, a mixture of feelings flowing through his eyes. Disbelief? Confusion? Ire? He clearly did not know who this strange woman was any more than I did. "We were just having a friendly conversation, stranger," he finally said when he collected himself. He straightened the lapels of his suit and rubbed a hand through his thick brown hair. "Seems to me she doesn't enjoy the way you converse," the woman replied, her deadly eyes burning into Mason's. "You men should clear out of here, or you and I will have a conversation, and it won't be friendly." She lowered the pistol that had been pointed into the air and aimed it at one of Mason's men. She did not blink as she stared into Mason's eyes. A silent promise passed from her to him, a promise of death. "All right, boys," Mason said to his men, still watching the fire-haired stranger. "I believe it's time that we spoke to Sheriff Brady about the transients passing through our fair town." He took his eyes off the woman and looked at me. "Mrs. Thompson, we'll continue our conversation at a future time," he told me, the thinly veiled threat clinging to his words. Not likely, the red-haired woman said from the back of her mare. She kept her guns leveled at Mason and one of his men as the three men climbed onto their horses and galloped away, heading toward town. As soon as they were out of sight, I let out a deep breath. I hadn't realized I had been holding my breath. As I leaned against the carriage, trying to compose myself, the chestnut horse and its rider came closer to me. The rider dismounted. "You're fine," she told me reassuringly. "Don't let that weasel get to you." "Thank you so much," I said, still trying to calm my nerves and catch my breath. "I'm Scarlet Sierra," she told me. "Father Simmons sent me a telegram, told me you may need someone to look after you for a time." "Oh," I said, "well, that definitely explains why this strange woman was here. He told me he had sent for someone, but I had no clue what he meant by that. I think he felt that you needed someone to protect you and your little ones for a spell," she replied. "And I can see why. Let's go inside and you can tell me about the ugly pecker I just sent running off." Scarlet drank her coffee as I related to her the story of what had happened to my husband. I explained why it happened. I explained who Reginald Mason was. She remained quiet throughout my entire telling of the events. In the next room, I could hear William playing with his sister. When I was finished, Scarlet took one last drink of her coffee and set the tin cup down on the table. "I've dealt with men like him before," she told me. "Men who think they can have everything they want and can just take it. I'll protect you and your little ones, Mrs. Thompson." "Please, call me Emily," I told her. I hesitated, not sure how to say what I wanted to say next. I don't have much money," I clumsily said. "I don't want your money," Scarlet replied in her southern twang. "I need a place to sleep and some fine home cooking." I gave her a shy smile. "The cooker I can definitely provide. We only have my room and the children's room," I started to say. "The barn is fine," she told me as she stood up. "Hay is more comfortable to me than a bed, anyhow." I did not sleep much that night. Not only did my bed feel cold without the warmth of my husband at my side, but I kept hearing Mason's threats in my ears. Even though I knew Miss Sierra slept out in the barn very near the house, every little noise I heard that night made me jump and worry. As I prepared coffee and biscuits that morning, Shannon helped me prepare the simple breakfast while William was outside doing his chores. I had not yet seen Scarlet that morning, and I assumed the woman was still asleep in the barn. I decided I would take some coffee out to her and invite her inside the house for biscuits. As I left the house and started walking to the barn, I saw William standing at one of the walls of the barn, his face pressed against the board. He heard me coming, looked at me in alarm, then took off running like the devil was chasing him. My brow furrowed in confusion. What in the world had he been doing? I walked over to where he had been. There was a knothole in the board right at about William's eye level. I bent down and peered through the hole. I gasped. Scarlet stood beside a metal tub filled with water pulled from the well. She was completely nude, her large breasts topped with rosy pink areola, her nipples erect. A fiery red growth of hair was between her legs, concealing her pink womanhood. She was bathing herself with a cloth, her tan skin dripping with soap and water. My mouth went dry. I knew I should have looked away, but my eyes were drawn to this beautiful woman. She was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. Her stomach was flat and toned, the curve of her ass flowing to meet the back of her bronze thighs. She bent over to continue washing herself, her long legs a study in perfection. Vaginal lips peeked out at me from between her ruby pubic hair as she bent over and washed her legs. I started feeling a warmth deep in my stomach. I felt very moist between my legs, and I could feel my hard nipples pressing against my dress. Shame finally got the better of me. My cheeks burning a bright red, I turned away from the barn and hurried back to the house. The image of the nude Scarlet burned in my mind. Scarlet came into the house a short time later. I tried so hard to act natural, but I felt shame burning in my body, lighting my face on fire. William came in from his chores shortly afterwards, and he had trouble looking at her, too. Plus, he would not meet my gaze. "Do you have little ones of your own?" I asked her, trying to make small talk. "No," she quietly replied. Her eyes went down, and she took another bite of biscuit. It was clear that she did not want to talk about it. When she was finished eating, she stood up and said, "I'm going to have a look around your property and talk with your ranch hands." As she was gone, I glared at William, who looked straight down at his plate, not willing to meet my eyes. "Shannon, go to your room," I instructed my daughter. She did as she was told, leaving the boy and I alone. "What you did is not proper," I told him. "You are never to do that again." I knew I was being a hypocrite. He was just a boy. He didn't know any better. What was my excuse then? "I'm sorry, Mama," he quietly replied. "I didn't mean nothing. I was just passing by, and I heard something. I looked in, and I saw Miss Scarlet. I didn't look very long, I swear." He looked up at me for the first time that breakfast. His eyes were wide and convincingly portrayed his innocence. "I was just curious." "Well, you're only a boy," I told him, my anger at him abating somewhat. "You'll have plenty of time to satisfy your curiosity when you're older. Run along and finish your chores." After William had left to finish his work around the yard, I looked in on Shannon. She was sitting on the floor of her room, playing with a rag doll. I gave her a smile when she looked up at me, then moved to my own room, quietly shutting the door behind me. The thought of what I was about to do made my breath tremble and my heart race, but it had been running through my mind all morning. The vision of seeing the amazing Scarlet Sierra in that barn, nude, with only soapy water clinging to her perfect body, it had lit a fire in my body that I didn't know existed, and I needed to touch the flame. With quivering fingers, I undid the buttons on my dress. The garment fell down my lean body, pooling at my feet. My undergarments followed. My breath was coming faster in my nervousness. I could feel my face flush with trepidation. I could hear my mama's voice in my mind. "Ladies don't let their menfolk see them naked. Ladies don't look at themselves naked." "Sorry, Mama," I said to myself. "I had to see." I was trembling as I stepped in front of the long mirror in the bedroom. I had seen myself naked before, of course. But it was just bits and pieces while I changed clothes or while I bathed. But now I wanted to see myself nude, to study my bare body. I wanted to see if I was like Scarlet. My breasts were smaller than hers. My nipples extended more and were redder. My stomach wasn't as flat as hers, but then I had borne two children. My hips swelled out more than hers, and my waist wasn't quite as narrow. Thin copper hair grew between my legs. I was very wet between my legs, and I could feel my very sensitive spot down there becoming very tender. I turned around and looked at my backside over my shoulder in the mirror. My ass wasn't as full as Scarlet's, I noted. I bent down like I had seen her do this morning in the barn. I could see the lips of my vagina through my pubic hair, slick and wet with my arousal. I wondered what I felt like down there. I know I shouldn't think of such things. God would probably strike me dead. My mama's chastising voice echoed in my mind, calling me a naughty, dirty woman. To hell with it. I had to feel myself. I lay down on my bed, spreading my legs, like I would when my husband mounted me for a good fucking. With nervous anxiety, I slowly let my right hand drift down to a breast, teasing and pinching the erect nipple. My body shuddered in response, and my sensitive spot throbbed. I kneaded my small breast and played with my hard red nipple for long minutes, enjoying the sensations that cascaded down my body. And then, without my even thinking about it, my other hand was suddenly between my white thighs, one slender finger gently rubbing my lips down there. "Oh," I moaned, trying to keep my voice down so as not to disturb my daughter, who was playing in her room right next to mine. My finger traced the soft, wet folds of my flesh down there, starting at the bottom and tracing its way to the top. When I got to my sensitive spot, it was like lightning shot through my body. I stiffened and gave a cry of pleasure. Tingles ran up and down my entire body, centered on my womanhood. As I laid there naked, basking in the afterglow of whatever had happened, it felt amazing, whatever it was. I know that I should have felt ashamed, but I didn't. After all that I had been told about how dirty and filthy this was, now that I had tried it, it actually felt natural. I was hanging laundry on the lines to dry when I saw Scarlet come over the hill on her chestnut horse, galloping as fast as it could toward the house. I heard her crying at the horse, pushing it to go faster. Clearly something was wrong. "Get in the house," she yelled at me as her horse thundered up to the house. But she did not stop, instead riding the horse straight into the barn. I looked where she had come from. Five men on horses had crested the hill and were riding to the house. I immediately dropped the basket of dirty clothes to the ground and ran inside. "Shannon, William," I yelled at the children, "hide under your beds. Don't come out until I tell you to." Scarlet came running in through the door, a pistol in each hand. She slammed the door shut as a bullet shot through the door, narrowly missing her. "Get down," she yelled at me. I dove at the floor. Gunshots echoed. Bullets flew through the door and the windows, leaving holes in the wood and shattering the glass. Scarlet ducked down beside a window, keeping her head down. A bullet struck the coffee pot on the stove, leaving a hole in it. I heard Shannon crying in terror in the next room. A bullet shattered a vase with flowers in it. Glass, water, and flowers went up in the air like an explosion and then fell to the ground. Then gunfire went quiet. A voice outside called out, "We want the red-haired bitch. You come with us. The widow and her kids don't get hurt." "Son of a bitch," Scarlet muttered in defiance. She peeked over the scattered remains of a window, seeing where the men were outside. And then, fast as lightning, she shot up. Her pair of guns fired once, and then she dropped back down below the window. "Holy shit," one of them exclaimed. "She shot Teddy and Rooster," another joined in. There was a brief chaotic commotion outside. I was guessing that with her two shots, she had just killed two of Mason's men. "You bitch," one of the men roared in anger. A moment later, one of the men charged through the door, crashing into the house. His eyes were dark and wild. He carried a shotgun, and he furiously looked around the house for someone to shoot at. In an instant, Scarlet spun on her heels and fired her pistols once again, both of her shots striking the man in the chest. He spun in a crazy dance as a pair of bloodstains began to blossom on his shirt. He then fell to the floor, joining the remains of the shattered door. "That's three of you, you ugly bastards," Scarlet yelled out, taunting them from her position under the broken window. "Care to make it four or five?" Angry, heated voices could be heard outside, but too quiet to be understood. A few minutes later, The sound of horses galloping away could be heard. Scarlet peeked over the window sill. "They're leaving," she told me. "Go see your little ones." It took me a couple of hours to get Shannon calmed down. William was scared, too. He just tried hard not to show it. When I finally had the children settled, I left them to play in their room. Scarlet had patched the door as best she could and mounted it again. "Those five men killed your ranch hands, I'm guessing earlier this morning," she told me, keeping her voice low so the children wouldn't hear. "They were riding away from the cottage when I was riding up. They shot at me and chased me. I shouldn't have led them here. That was stupid of me." I could feel the self-recrimination boiling out of her. I laid a gentle hand on her shoulder, trying to reassure her. "No, you did the right thing," I said softly. "They would have surely killed you if you stayed out in the open. You were right to seek shelter here." She was silent for a moment, her eyes thoughtful. She turned her head in a way that her cheek lightly brushed against my hand. It was very faint, but I noticed it. Was it deliberate? The warmth of her skin brushing against mine made me tingle. "I should check out the rest of your property, see if them bastards caused any other damage," she told me in her southern twang. "You and your little ones had better stay inside. If there's any trouble, you ring the dinner bell and I'll come a-running." As she started to go out the door, she said over her shoulder, "I think it's best that I sleep in here tonight." And then she was gone. The rest of that day passed by in something of a blur. Scarlet would be sleeping here? Would she be sleeping in my bed, next to me? The thought of sharing a bed with a beautiful, strong-willed woman was at once thrilling and scary. Part of me wanted to feel her body against mine, to know what it was like to feel her warmth against me. But part of me kept hearing my mama's voice, telling me I was dirty. The fiery-haired Scarlet Sierra returned back to the house just before supper. As she sat down to eat bread and stew, she told me that she hadn't seen any of the damage caused by Mason's men. "Still," she told me, "it would be safer if I slept in here tonight." My heart raced when she said that. I did not meet her eyes, afraid that they would betray the thoughts that flowed through my brain, thoughts of her and I in the same bed. After dinner, Shannon helped me clean up. I tucked the children into their beds shortly after. As I closed the bedroom door behind me, I started to wonder what would happen next. "Where do you wish to sleep?" I asked Scarlet, as she sat quietly at the table. "I can just sleep here on the floor," she replied. "I've slept in worse places." "Nonsense," I replied. "My bed is big enough for both of us." She peered at me with her emerald green eyes. Her eyes were so beautiful. I immediately wished that I could take back what I had just said. I must have sounded like some whore. What must she think of me? To my surprise, Scarlet said a quiet, "All right, then." The lantern cast flickering shadows around my bedroom. I stripped out of my dress and undergarments and put my nightgown on, tying the front strings tight against my chest. I slid under the blankets on my bed. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. I was so scared and excited at the same time. I had never shared a bed with anyone other than my husband, let alone another woman. Scarlet came into the room just a few minutes later. I had expected her to blow out the lantern before she got undressed, but she started to unbutton her shirt right there. "Oh," I exclaimed in surprise, "did you want me to leave while you get changed?" I started to slide out of the bed. "No need," she told me. Her fingers undid the last button. As she pulled the shirt back and let it slide down her arms, it was clear she wore nothing underneath the shirt, for her large breasts quickly came into view. Her rosy pink nipples stood erect and prominent on her full breasts. I gasped in amazement. She didn't care that I was right there, that I was watching her undress, that I could see her naked. The thought thrilled me, and I felt myself becoming moist down there. I would have given anything to be as carefree as her. She studied me as she kicked off her boots. She hooked her thumbs into the hem of her pants and pulled them down her long, flawless legs in one swift motion. She stepped out of them and kicked the pants into a pile with her shirt. She stood there in the flickering light of a lantern, nude before my eyes and unashamed of her bare flesh. My sensitive spot between my legs throbbed. She casually slid into bed next to me and laid on top of the blankets, her eyes still watching me, regarding me. I could only stare open-mouthed, knowing that I should look away, but not able to. I thought she would blow out the lantern, but she did not. She simply lay on her side, one bent arm propping her head up, her crimson hair pooled on the bed around her. "You can look, I don't mind," she whispered. I opened my mouth to say something in protest, but she brought one slender finger to my lips, quieting me. "I heard you outside the barn when I was taking my bath, and I know by the way you've been looking or not looking at me that you enjoyed it." Words could not come to me. I was simply stunned by her words and her actions. This mysterious woman was so full of surprises. She stared me straight in the eyes, her green eyes locking with my brown eyes. Her stare was intense and burning bright. She started to lean her face closer to mine. I hesitated and almost pulled back as I realized what she intended to do. She was going to kiss me. My mama's voice yelled at me in my mind. "Kissing another woman is dirty." But this woman lying next to me was so beautiful, so strong, and so sexy. Her lips met mine tenderly. She kissed me passionately, expertly. Things began to flutter inside my stomach. My skin grew flush and warm. I returned her kiss, but I felt awkward. My husband, who was the only person I had ever kissed in my life, had never kissed me this way. His kisses were quick pecks, but Scarlet was kissing me long and passionately, exciting parts of my body I didn't know existed. My eyes were closed, feeling her soft lips on mine. I felt her hands on the strings of my nightgown, untying them. I moaned softly into her mouth. This felt so wicked and so right. The strings on my nightgown came undone, and I felt the gown come loose in the front. Her hand slipped through the opening in my gown and cupped a sensitive breast. I gasped against her soft lips, hard nipple rubbing against her palm. My own hand moved to her breast. I wanted to feel it so badly. I placed my hand on the mound of her large breast. Her kiss became more insistent, silently encouraging me to continue. I gently rubbed the smooth flesh of her full breast, finding her erect nipple. I lightly rubbed it between two fingers, feeling the nub against my skin. Her hand left my breast, and she slowly pulled away from my lips. Her eyes gently opened. I was somewhat confused, somewhat scared. Why had she stopped? Had I done something wrong? I opened my mouth to voice an apology to her, but I did not see anger in her flashing green eyes. I saw only lust and passion. I saw want and need and desire. She reached up and started to peel the cotton nightgown from my body. Goosebumps began to pop up along my skin at the thought of this strange woman seeing my naked body. And then the gown slipped below my breasts, exposing them and my erect red nipples to her exploring eyes. Scarlet slid the gown lower to my stomach. "Lift your buttocks up," she quietly told me. I did so, and she slid the gown the rest of the way down my body. I was now completely naked in front of another woman for the first time. I felt my cheeks burning with heated embarrassment. Her body was perfection, Mine was the body of a woman who had been taught at a young age to be ashamed of their naked flesh. Her eyes drank my body in, going from my own eyes to my breasts, down my stomach, and down to between my legs. Her eyes looked back to mine. "You are lovely, darling," she said to me in her southern twang. Before I could thank her for her compliment, she leaned forward and kissed me again, her lips hungrily brushing against mine, passionately seeking my own. I returned her lust in kind, my own lips craving hers. She slowly pushed me back to the softness of the bed so that I lay on my back. Our lips still danced with each other as she deftly straddled me, her legs on either side of me. I could feel her heavy breasts hanging under her slender body, her rigid nipples lightly grazing against my tender skin. I was so wet and moist down between my thighs, I had never known that being with another woman would be like this. And when she kissed her way softly down my soft neck and along the gentle rise of my left breast, my breath caught in my throat. What was she doing, I wondered. Was she going to suck at my nipple as an infant would? Yes, she did. Her soft wet mouth wrapped around my engorged nipple, her agile tongue flicking at my sensitive nub. I gave a soft cry of passion, cupping my mouth so my children would not hear. She switched to my other breast and repeated the process, her mouth toying with my nipple, her hand kneading at the tender flesh of my breast. She kissed her way down my body, along my stomach that bore the marks of carrying two children. Her hands traced along my sides, following her descending exploration of my naked flesh. She took a hand to either leg and slowly parted my legs, exposing my womanhood to her lustful emerald eyes. She kneeled in between my open legs and lowered her mouth to my sex. I stared at her in wide-eyed wonder. She gave me a wicked, knowing smile. She slowly extended her tongue and licked at my very sensitive spot down there. Oh, my God! The feeling felt wickedly amazing. I shuddered and closed my eyes, concentrating on the sensation of her tongue licking at my sensitive spot above my sex. Her tongue licked me, and soon a smooth, slender finger from her hand joined her exploration of the valley between my thighs. She slid it along the slit of my sex, and I knew she had to notice how wet and slick I was from my arousal. Then she gently pushed her finger inside of me, like a man's penis. She was smaller than what I was used to with my husband, but her finger was more agile, more dexterous. She was rubbing her fingertip in an area just on the inside of me. My hips started to take a life of their own, rolling and gyrating. I started to pant, my breath becoming heavier and heavier. My face felt flushed, sweat gathering at my brow. My body tensed up and something inside exploded outward, sending electric tingles up and down my body. Again and again the sensation rolled through my body like the waves of the ocean pounding on the rocks of a shore, pulling away and then returning to smash against the rocks again and again. Finally, sensing I could take no more of these amazing sensations, Scarlet pulled away from where she knelt between my thighs. She lay next to me and spooned herself against me, the womanly curves of her body pressing against my back. I basked in the wonder of the afterglow of what had just happened between her and I, enjoying her being near me. After a time, she stood up and blew out the light of the lantern. "Get some sleep, Emily," she instructed me. "Tomorrow you're going to learn how to shoot a gun." I pulled the trigger of the pistol. The shot cracked into the air, and I thought my aim was good, but still the tin can did not budge off the post. "You're not aiming right," Scarlet said, from where she watched. I looked back at her and frowned. "What am I doing wrong?" She was chewing on a long piece of grass. She walked over to where I was and stood next to me. Just her standing so close to me made me desire her. "Lift your pistol and point it at the target," she quietly told me. I did so, raising the gun with both hands and aiming it at the tin can on the post several yards away. She brought her face close to mine so that she could look down the barrel at the pistol that I pointed. She gently took my hands with hers and slightly adjusted my aim. I could feel her body pressing against mine, her large breasts rubbing against my back. I was suddenly having a hard time concentrating on gun practice. "Look down the barrel," she whispered in my ear, her breath hot and moist against my ear. It made my body want to quiver. "Line the sight up with what you want to hit." I saw what she meant and nodded my head, my cheek brushing softly with hers. "When you're ready, fire the pistol," she said to me. I pulled the trigger again. The gun shot, and the tin can jumped up as a hole suddenly appeared in its side. It fell to the ground. "I got it," I screamed excitedly. I jumped, spun around, and kissed her. She returned my kiss, her lips passionately pressing against mine. What I wanted to do to her right then and there. Scarlet and I spent the next hour practicing with the pistol. I got to where I was a pretty good shot with it, especially since Scarlet would reward me with a hot, passionate kiss each time I hit a target. Scarlet spent the night with me in my bedroom again. This time, I did not bother putting my nightgown on. I stepped into bed nude, her eyes watching me as I lay next to her. "I want to do to you what you did to me," I told her, my eyes staring into hers. She smiled at me and lay on her back. I lay beside her, kissing her gently. I felt shy and timid, not sure what I should do. I felt her hand lightly take my hand and bring it to her large breast. Her erect nipple pushed against my palm. I kneaded her large breast. She moaned into my mouth, encouraging me. I remembered what she had done to me the night before, so I kissed my way down her neck. Her skin was so soft, and I could see her neck and cheeks becoming flush. My lips kissed softly along her collarbone, and she showed her appreciation with an enthusiastic moan and a lick of her soft lips. My kisses found their way down her generous breasts. She arched her back, pushing her chest against my exploring lips. I lightly brushed her erect nipples with my lips, then gently took my tongue and licked the rosy nub. She cooed and ran her fingers through my brown hair, gently pressing my mouth against her breast. I spent long moments kissing and licking and sucking her breasts and nipples. She continued to encourage me with moans and coos, but I wanted to go between her thighs, to see that rosy pinkness that I saw when I peeked in at her bathing herself in the barn. I slid down her body, leaving a trail of soft kisses as I made my way down. Her thighs instinctively opened, welcoming me. Her long tan legs enticed me to go between them to see what her womanhood offered. I accepted the invitation greedily, kneeling down between her wide open thighs. Pink lips of velvet softness greeted my inquisitive eyes, and at the top of the lips a tiny pink button stood out. I realized that was where I was most sensitive down there on myself. I had always wondered what it looked like, and now I knew, looking at the area on another woman with my own two eyes. Unsure of myself, I gently took one finger and gingerly touched the erect button that peeked out at me from the folds of her sex. She took a sharp inhale of breath and arched her back, pushing her ass off the bed, showing her eagerness for me to continue to touch her. I continued to lightly rub my finger on the spot, and her breathing grew heavier and faster. "Inside," she whispered, her voice thick and husky with lust. "Slide your finger inside me." I slid my finger down a bit more along her pink lips. She was so wet and moist, lubricating my intruding digit. I slid easily inside of her. She was so wet. Silky flesh enveloped my exploring finger, and she gave a soft cry. "Oh," she breathed. "In and out," she encouraged me. I gently slid my single finger in and out of her pink folds. Her hips rose off the bed and began to churn. Her tan thighs were trembling and shaking. "Take another finger and slide it in my ass," she told me. I hesitated for a moment. My mama had told me that was the worst sin of all. No man, and certainly no woman, was supposed to do that. But now, the thought of it secretly thrilled and excited me. I took a finger from my other hand and reached under her raised hips, sliding between the cheeks of her round ass. I found the light pucker of her asshole. It was well lubricated from the moisture of her sex seeping down her backside, so it was a bit tight to push my finger into the tiny hole, but the wetness from her womanhood helped. As my finger penetrated her tight little asshole, she gave a sharp cry, half from pain and half from pleasure. I slid both fingers in and out of her in unison, one finger in her soft pink vagina and the other finger in her tight little ass. She began to tremble and squirm wildly, her large breasts bouncing up and down. "Oh!" she suddenly cried out. Her body stiffened, her eyes closed. Her mouth was wide open, but no other sound came out. She was exploding inside, like I had with her last night. I remember how wonderful it felt for me, so I hoped it was the same for her. As her body relaxed, I slowly slid my fingers out of her, and then lay beside her, curling against her and laying my head in the crook of her shoulder. She was warm from the sex we just had, and she stroked my hair lovingly, gently. Suddenly, the sound of glass breaking and Shannon's terrified shriek shattered the quiet. And then my daughter's cry of alarm went silent. I bolted upright and grabbed for my nightgown. Scarlet, meanwhile, grabbed for her two pistols that sat beside us on the nightstand. She did not bother with clothes as she flung open the bedroom door and jolted to the children's room. I clutched my nightgown to my naked body as I followed her. She jerked the door open to the children's room and stopped short, her eyes peering into the room. I came up behind her and looked over her shoulder. The window leading into the room was broken, the night air spilling into the room. The children were nowhere to be seen. "It had to be Mason," I said, pacing back and forth in the kitchen. I was trembling in agitation. I was so frightened for my children that I could barely breathe, and I couldn't think straight. My mind was racing, my heart was pounding in my breast. Scarlet sat silently at the table. She had loaded bullets into her pistols and was now slipping more bullets into her pockets. "Where does this pecker-headed son of a bitch live?" she finally asked me, her quiet, even voice thick with her southern accent. She looked up at me, and I could see her emerald eyes burning with simmering anger. "What are you going to do?" I asked her, bewildered. "I'm going to bring your children back, Emily," she told me, her voice still flat and showing no emotion. "And I'm going to kill that man and anyone who stands between me and your little ones." "Then I'm coming with you," I told her. She was stone-faced as she looked at me. Only those deadly green eyes showed any emotion at all. She considered it for a moment, and I thought she would tell me no. And I was prepared to argue with her, to tell her these were my children, that it was my husband whom Reginald Mason had murdered. "All right, then," the fire-haired woman replied. "But you can't wear a dress to a gunfight. We need to find you a shirt and trousers.
For the first time in my life, I wore a shirt and trousers instead of a dress. The clothes belonged to Scarlet, so they did not fit me very well. We rode quietly in the dark night as I guided us to the house of Reginald Mason. Instead of following the dirt roads to Mason's estate, I took us along a creek that ran through woods that sat on his land. When we were close enough to see the walls of his ranch house, we stopped the horses and tied them to trees by the creek. Scarlet reached into a saddlebag on the horse and produced a pistol. She handed it to me and gave me several handfuls of bullets.
"Shoot any one that is not you, me, or your little ones," she whispered to me in the half-moonlight. I nodded my head in understanding. We crept through the shadows of the woods. The lights of several lanterns could be seen through the windows of the house. Scarlet stopped as we reached the edge of the darkened woods. Open yards stretched out before us. We would have to cross it to reach Mason's house. I looked over her shoulder. I could see movement in the shadows by the door to Mason's house.
"Stay behind me," the southern woman whispered to me. She slowly crept out of the trees and emerged into the open yard. Dim moonlight cast a full illumination on her. She crouched down and began to slink across the soft grass, her eyes watching the men at the door. They still hadn't seen her. I hunkered down and followed her out onto the grass, my heart slamming against my chest. The shadows at the door suddenly came to life. One of the men yelled something that I couldn't understand. Scarlet fell flat on the grass and fired her pistols. Twin echoes rolled against the yard. One of the shadows slumped to the ground, his dull thud reaching my ears. A shot came from the door, and I felt something fly past my shoulder. I pointed my pistol at the shadow in the door, held my breath, and pulled the trigger. The pistol jumped back as the bullet flew out of the barrel. The man at the door slumped against the wall and slid to the ground.
"Good shooting," Scarlet whispered to me as she stood up. "Hurry, they know we're here."
The two of us dashed across the rest of the yard. We stopped at the door. One of the men was wounded, groaning in pain, and clutching at his stomach. He wouldn't last long. The man that I was shot was long dead, the blood from the wound in his upper chest staining his wool shirt. Scarlet nodded to me and then nodded at the door, giving me a silent signal. I nodded in understanding and moved off to the side against the wall. Scarlet brought one leather boot up and gave the wooden door a solid kick. The door was flung open. Gunshots came from inside the house. A bullet chipped into the wall next to me, spraying me with splinters of wood. Scarlet's twin pistols shot again as she moved away from the doorway, hugging her body against the wall next to me. More gunshots came from inside the house.
"Shit," she angrily hissed. "I can't get them from here. They're behind cover."
She peeked around at the frame of the door and then quickly drew her head back. "Count to three, then follow me inside," she told me. "Go to the right. There's a table we can use for cover." She dashed inside and dove to the right, leaving my sight. More gunshots from inside the house, bullets whizzing out of the doorway. I counted to three, took a deep breath, and lunged through the doorway. As I passed through the door and into the house, I came into a foyer. To the left, stairs went up to the second floor of the house. Straight ahead, a hallway led to the other rooms. Three men were in different doorways, pistols aimed at the front door. They fired at me. I dove to the right where Scarlet had knocked over a table that she hid behind. As I came through the doorway, Scarlet looked over the edge of the table and fired her twin pistols. One of the men fell back into the doorway with a cry of pain. Just before I ducked behind the table, I shot at one of the other men. He dropped his gun and fell down within the doorway, clutching his wounded, bloody hand. The remaining man fired at Scarlet as she ducked behind the table. I crouched behind the table beside her. I could feel the blood racing in my veins. I surprised myself by pouncing up and firing my pistol twice at the remaining man. The first shot missed, but